appears that our Sunday night attendance is a little bit better tonight. Thank you for moving that. I really do appreciate that. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
I've never felt isolated as a part of this congregation. I don't want to start now, so. Linda and I made it over to Palacios for a reception honoring one of their older members. She's 91 years old, almost said 51, 91 years old. She was there when I first moved to Palacios in 1983. In fact, I've only had two jobs since 1983. I think that's a blessing also. But she was one of the ladies that always took the lead in preparing food for, you know, the first Sunday fellowship and benevolence and for other things. She always took the lead when we were planning a ladies' day. And so she's a lady after my own heart. I really do appreciate that. Because of her health, she's having to move. She only has one son. He lives in Katy. So she's going to move closer to Katy so she can be with her son. But when Linda and I got there, she just latched on to us. She's a very good friend of Linda's also. And she insisted that we sit with her. And, of course, we enjoyed that and got to see a lot of the old members over there that I don't get to see very often. But I was telling Alice something. I probably shouldn't say this because if you ever tell anybody over there, I'm going to deny I ever said it. But the ladies here are just much better cooks than the ladies over there. That's just all there is to it. We were able to meet our dietary requirements, but much better here. I also need to acknowledge a faux pas that I made this morning. I misdesignated John 1:14. I misdesignated it. The only thing I can think of is I was thinking Hebrews 11:6. When I said John 1:6, in fact, I almost was going to deny it. I almost thought I didn't do that. I checked my notes. I even did it in my notes. So I appreciate that the few that pointed it out to me did it in a very sweet way.
Keith?
Yes. I'm not going to list all the ones that told me, but I was told by more than one that I misdesignated John 1, verse 14. You know, over the years, I have been able to ask you as my family very intimate questions. We've talked about some very sensitive things, some very important things. And such will be the case tonight. I don't know if I've ever asked a more sensitive question than the question I use as we begin our lesson tonight. So let me ask the question. When someone sees you, or when someone sees me, do they know that we've been with Jesus? And you know how I mean the question. We have not been with him in a physical form, but do they realize that we have been with Jesus? You know, that question gives me opportunity to turn to Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, we find that Peter and John are preaching and teaching the gospel. And when the people saw the boldness, the courage of Peter and John, do you remember what the Bible says? They remembered, they realized those men had been with Jesus. Where did they get their boldness? Where did they get their courage? They had been with Jesus. Now, really, it was just out of curiosity. I tried to use the Bible and determine how much time had passed from the death, burial, and resurrection. In fact, even how much time had passed since the 40 days after Jesus was with the disciples and then his ascension in Acts chapter 1. How much time had passed now till Acts chapter 4. I know it's just three chapters later, but I was curious in my own mind how much time passed. I only found one commentator that even speculated, and he said probably from, well, I don't even know if he said probably. He seemed to feel that from the resurrection to Acts chapter 4 was maybe six or 8 weeks. I wouldn't even have thought it was that long. But just a while back, several weeks a few weeks, maybe even a couple of months ago, God allowed Jesus to die on the cross. And I'm sure those Romans who crucified him thought, well, he's out of our hair now forever. And the Jews, I'm sure they thought, well, he's flamed out now. We're not going to have to worry about Jesus. He had a following for a while, and now he's gone. I'm sure Pontius Pilate was very excited about it. You remember, he washed his hands, washed the blood off of Jesus' hands. And I'm sure even some of Jesus' disciples, the ones who were confused thinking that Jesus was coming to establish an earthly kingdom, I'm sure they thought it was all over as well. So the Romans thought it's all past. The Jews thought it's all past. Even some of Jesus' disciples probably thought it's all past. But now here is Peter and John in Jerusalem at the temple, and they're preaching Jesus. Now, I don't know exactly what the people were thinking when they noticed the courage and the boldness of Peter and John, but I would imagine at least some of them were saying, we crucified Jesus for teaching. We might crucify you for teaching as well. I don't know exactly what it meant, but I have always been impressed that they saw that they had been with Jesus. What I would like for us to do tonight is think of some things, or let me suggest some things, that are noticed in people like us who have been with Jesus. And the things that I will mention tonight, I think, are not going to be seen in people who have not been with Jesus. So maybe the application is we need to make sure that we're there. One of the things that people who have been with Jesus always demonstrate is compassion. One thing we always see is compassion. We were in Acts 4. Let's back up to Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are at the temple. There were several gates into the temple, but the one that is designated, the one that is most interesting, was called the Beautiful Gate. And according to Josephus and perhaps other Jewish historians, that gate was just that. It was just a beautiful gate. I also understand from historians that the gate was very large. So it was a prime place for people to bring their family members or their friends or their neighbors who needed charity to that gate. You know, if you were lame or blind or halt, your health was bad. They didn't have a welfare system like we do here, so they were dependent upon begging. In fact, begging was actually seen as an occupation back then. So they brought a particular man who was lame, and they left him every day at the Beautiful Gate. Well, Peter and John are going through the Beautiful Gate, leading to the temple. And the man, as he always would do, here are two men passing, he asked alms, or he asked for money. And you remember what Peter and John said, we don't have any money, but what we do have, we'll give you. So the question is, what did they have? They didn't have any money. What did they have? They had the compassion of Jesus Christ, because they had been with him. And with their compassion and with Jesus' authority, they healed the man. People of Christ, people who have been with Christ, have the compassion of Christ. And it is impossible not to be filled with compassion if we are using Jesus as our life example. Imagine if you were there in Matthew 25 when Jesus described that great separation scene. You know, the sheep and the goats, the good and the bad, the righteous and the unrighteous. And those who had received his blessing said to Jesus, Jesus, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, naked, in prison? When did we see you that way? And again, you remember the response, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. A Christian will show compassion because a Christian has been with Jesus. Something else that a Christian will show, and that is courage. That's why I use the story of Peter and John to introduce the lesson. When Peter and John healed the lame man, they went to a place called Solomon's Porch. Your translation might say Solomon's portico. It was a little adjacent to the temple, and it was a place where people, rabbis, would have an opportunity to preach and teach. And that's what Peter and John did. They began to preach Jesus Christ. Now, as we enter into the fourth chapter of Acts again, we find that they are arrested for preaching Christ, and more specifically, for preaching the resurrection. We'll talk about that in a moment. Let me read the first three verses of Acts 4. The priests and the captains of the temple guards and the Sadducees, that's the key, the Sadducees, came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaimed Jesus in the resurrection from the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. What was their crime? Well, preaching, but more specifically, preaching the resurrection. You see, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. Not only they didn't believe in Jesus' resurrection, they didn't believe in any possibility of a resurrection. And the Bible says concerning the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, to the Jews it was a stumbling block. The Jewish understanding just did not cope. It was a tripping hazard for the Jews. And to the Gentiles, preaching the resurrection was silly. It was foolishness. But that's what they were preaching, the death, burial, and resurrection. And yes, it took a lot of courage, realizing that just a short period before this, Jesus, who they were recognized of being with, was taken and crucified. So brethren, it did take a lot of courage. They were putting their life on the line as well, especially now and here that they are surrounded by so much opposition. It took a great amount of courage to be a follower of Jesus back in the first century and in the second century and the third century. And I could go on, but you know I'm eventually going to get to today. It takes a tremendous amount of courage, more and more all the time, in order to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, where do we get that needed courage? Same place Peter and John got their courage. They had been with Jesus. Let me read verse 13. Now when they, that would be the people, including the Sadducees and others, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, in other words, they had not gone to any of the rabbinical schools of that day, how could anyone who didn't have a master's degree or a doctor's degree in Judaism be able to teach these things? When they thought, King James says, ignorant and unlearned men, when they realized that's who it was, they marveled and they realized they had been with Jesus. Their courage came from being with Jesus. Our courage comes from being with Jesus. We can rely on each other, but first and foremost, we must rely on Jesus. When I was growing up, the Gospel Advocate commentaries, and I would imagine a lot of you have those still in your home, was the set of commentaries that everybody wanted to have. Brother McGarvey had originally written a commentary for it, but when they brought out the new Gospel Advocate commentaries, I don't know if he did it or someone else abridged his commentary on the book of Acts, probably to make it smaller to fit in with the rest. But from his original commentary on Acts, Brother J.W. McGarvey, wonderful, wonderful scholar in the Lord's church, said, "There is something in the very tone of a man or a woman who has been with Jesus, which has more power to touch the heart than the most perfect oratory." In other words, a preacher can preach a perfect sermon, and it's going to reach certain hearts. But seeing people is going to reach more hearts than any sermon. He also wrote, if we desire the courage to tell people about salvation, we need to spend more time with Jesus. He will give us the boldness to share the cross with others. Now, something else we notice in Christians, and that is a commitment. I can remember watching The Rifleman and Bonanza and all of those westerns back on television. And if they bought a farm or a ranch or a livery stable or something like that, the phraseology was, you bought everything, lock, stock, and barrel. I bet most of you have heard that. Well, Peter and John bought into Christianity, lock, stock, and barrel. They trusted the person, Jesus. They trusted the teaching of Jesus. They trusted the plan of Jesus. Jesus meant more to them than anything else. More than family, and we know how we're to treat our family. More than friends, and we know how we're to treat our friends. Even more than themselves. They were committed to preaching and teaching Jesus. You know, I have heard preachers use this illustration. I have used it myself many times. And I used to always think this would never happen. I'm not so sure if in the future of the United States this might happen sometime. What if they passed a law that it was illegal for us to assemble and worship Christ the way the New Testament teaches? They just made it illegal for an assembly to come together to worship God. A lot of people would stop worshiping God, but not Christians. We will continue worshiping God. If it comes down to us going to jail or coming to church, well, we're going to do one or the other. If they don't put us in jail, we're going to come to church. That's what happened with Peter and John. They probably knew they were going to be arrested. They probably knew they were going to be jailed. They probably knew they were going to be beaten. But they did it anyway. Nobody, though, would have been upset with them had they not. Jesus now has ascended back to heaven if you were a believer. They would not have been upset with them had they not. They could have avoided a lot of persecution. They could have avoided a lot of turmoil. They could have avoided a lot of prison imprisonment. They could have lived a nice, quiet life and lived to a ripe old age. But they loved Jesus too much to do that. And that's the whole message of the first chapters of Acts, at least. They loved Jesus too much. Had they not loved Jesus as much as they did, the church would have failed, at least compared to the way the church succeeded. Now, do you know why people don't talk about Jesus today? Have you ever gone to a place, and they might even have a sign, all conversation welcomed except politics and religion. You know why people don't want to talk about religion today? Because they're afraid of what other people are going to say about them. Well, let me change that. They're afraid of what other people are going to say against them. Now, I've told you, I don't twit or tweet or whatever it's called. I don't do that, nor will I ever do that. If you do that, that's fine. But there is so much hatred already in the Twitter universe. I don't want to drag my Lord's name into that. So we need to be careful. We need to be committed. But it's so sad that people just don't want to talk about Jesus anymore. And now in the fifth chapter, we have a rerun of what we've already discussed. Peter and John are released. They go right back to the same place and start preaching again. They're thrown into prison for a second time for preaching again. They're brought before the same council, the same people all over again. Acts 5, verse 28 and 29, talking to Peter and John. The Jews say, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name, not to teach Jesus Christ? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Not their doctrine, Jesus' doctrine. In spite of all of that opposition, no doubt in spite of a degree of fear, they had filled all of Jerusalem. All of Jerusalem now had heard the fact that Jesus is raised from the dead and intend to bring this man, that's Jesus, his blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, and this is a verse that we need to accept as a mantra for our Christian lives. We must obey God rather than man. That's just the bottom line. We just have to obey God. That's what Peter and John did. That's what we have to do if the church is going to exist, or at least if the church is going to do any kind of growing. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you if you've ever heard of this man. You don't have to verbally respond, but I'm curious. Have you ever heard of a man named Truett Cathy? Truett Cathy. Mike has. Have you ever eaten a Chick-fil-A? Truett Cathy is the founder of Chick-fil-A. Very successful, has over 1,000 franchises. You know what is different from his franchises than all the others? They close on Sunday so their people can go to church. Whether they do or not, I don't know. I would like to know that. But they close on Sunday. He has lost countless thousands, if not millions of dollars, because he lets God set his direction and not business, not the stock market, not anything else. And even he has been criticized over the years for that. Public opinion, brethren, doesn't drive our decisions. God drives our decisions. And I'm seeing that. I'm sure you're seeing that more and more all the time. Brethren, we should always be close to God. We should always obey God rather than man. And if it comes to it that we're arrested, imprisoned, beaten, we'll do it gladly for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, how can we tell a person has been with Jesus? Well, we see compassion and courage and commitment, because that's what we saw in him. And it is our prayer that we will continue to show this compassion and show this courage and show this commitment until maybe everything will flip-flop and the government will help us grow again. May we all be strengthened by these words. Perhaps tonight there's one or more who needs to respond to our Lord's invitation. I'm sure everyone here knows exactly what Jesus is talking about when he says, "You come unto me." And if you need to come, won't you do so now as we stand together and as we sing.